Good morning, East Point. Great to see you guys. Wow. I'm glad to be here. Always happy to be with our church family and connecting as we do. This is a great series. If you're watching online, thanks for joining us wherever you are. Last Tuesday night, there was a worship in the round right here, and a lot of you were here. I was not. But I was envious of it because I know what happens in those times where people gather to worship, and I've heard the reports, and we'll do it again, maybe in another couple of months for sure. But yeah, plan on being there for that when we announce it. Spectacular time with the church and with the Holy Spirit moving. Hey, real quick disclaimer, if you're on Facebook and you've gotten messages from me, now, you probably didn't, especially if they were prophetic messages, and if one of those prophecies said that you're going to meet a man, definitely not from me. Just tell, I mean, wishful thinking, hopeful, I know, but not the case. So somebody's impersonating me on Facebook, and you'll know that I don't even get on Facebook hardly ever, so just know that's the case. We started this series with Pray for One, and then we talked about connecting with one and then sharing a meal with one. Today we're going to talk about sharing our story with one and how important that is to being a fisher of men. And let me just talk to you about why we fish. And before I even go into my point on why we fish, which is the question, I have this really big burden on my heart this morning that we could do a 5-week series on fishers of men and see no results. That if we're teaching and sharing why and the fishing of men to bring people into the kingdom, you know, the whole spiel that we give with the gospel and why it's so important, if none of us catch that and get it, then 5 weeks worth of messages are just another series, and I don't want that. And I don't think fishing is easy. And fishing for men is not easy. Fishing for people is not easy. If it were, everybody would be doing it. And it'd be so simple. And so let me just pray for us really quickly that the Holy Spirit will do something in us and send us into the field to fish for people in a way that the Holy Spirit does the work, which we're going to talk about today in a big way, but let me just pray and we'll get right to it. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit that you give to us. And we ask, oh Lord, now for those of us who are following you, Jesus, that your Spirit rise up within us and that you provide these opportunities like we've been talking about in this series of just encountering people, friends and family, and even people we don't even know, strangers that might come across our path. Oh Lord, that you would give your Spirit to us in such a profound way that we would feel compelled like Paul, and that we would, because of the love that you have for us, that we would be compelled to share your gospel, to share your truth, Jesus, with a dying world. We ask for that in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So why fish? Here's part of the answer. All of us who are currently following Jesus, all of us were at one place in the very position that we're going after those who are needing to hear, those who are needing the message. We were all in the place of everyone that we are fishing for, and someone caught us. Aren't you glad that someone caught us and someone said something to us and someone made the message a little more clear? We actually partner with the Holy Spirit. That's why I wanted to pray about that, who does the spiritual work of drawing people to the Father. The Holy Spirit does the drawing. We are just the vessels. He often uses us to do the fishing. And when we were rescued, when we were initially caught and reeled in, let me say this again, we were rescued. When someone cast a line and they started, and we got hooked and we got reeled in, we were rescued. by those who understood their role as fishers of men. And part of being a disciple of Jesus is playing out that role. And most disciples of Jesus just don't play that role. We just leave it up to somebody else. And I'm here to say to our church family, no more of that. Let's go. Let's go do what we're supposed to do. But it won't happen in our own strength. It'll happen because we're asking the Holy Spirit to provide opportunities for us. We are a fisher of people who are more desperate for the gospel of Jesus than they even know that they're desperate for. But we're desperate to reach them like we were desperate until someone prayed for us, until someone connected with us, until someone may have shared a meal with us or a cup of coffee, and they told us and we were hooked. And we couldn't get enough. We wanted to hear more about the gospel of Jesus. Let me just stop right here for a second. If you were recently hooked and you accepted Jesus, and you're starting to see that fade away a little bit. You're going, hey, what happened? It's just the enemy coming in trying to steal your joy. Don't let him do that. Some of the most recent believers who've come to Jesus most recently are the greatest at fishing, because of what's inside of them. For all of the rest of us who have settled down and we're like a catfish on the bottom of the riverbed and we're just sucking up dirt, you know? We should go up to the surface a little more and maybe allow ourselves to splash around a bit and do something exciting. Don't let Satan steal your joy. Because when we were hooked, we were attracted to a lot of things. And one of the things we were attracted to was this school of fish, this big school of fish called the church, the community of Jesus. And some of us remember those initial tugs. How many of you can remember, with a show of your hands this time, when you felt something that the Holy Spirit was doing inside of you? You remember that? And you remember how the heart, your heart was reached and something went on inside of you. That wasn't just by chance. That was the power of the Holy Spirit reaching you. That's God reaching you. That's God touching you through His Spirit. That's Him drawing you. That's what God does. And we'd say, I'd like to have that all the time. No, you probably wouldn't. It'd be too much. But we want to keep growing and walking. Sometimes His tug on our spirit happens right here in this room, right? When we're worshiping or when we're hearing a message, we hear, oh, thank you, God, you're touching me specifically. And He keeps reeling us back in to Himself. Looking back to week one, Peter, Andrew, James, and John left their nets and their boat, and they became fishers of men. And Jesus told them something. He said, I will make you. I will make you. I will help you become fishers of men. I'll do the discipling. I'll disciple you. And that's what Jesus does for us. He does the making of the fishers of men. He does the discipling. The result of their choice to fish and rescue people from sin, death, and hell is us. The result of the 12 disciples sharing their faith with others is us. That's how important this is. And my concern for the world around us and the people in your life and the people in my life is they will not experience life in Christ Jesus without us fishing. We have to go fishing. So fish, I understand, take in water through their mouth, passing through their gills, just behind the head on each side, where oxygen is absorbed from and carbon dioxide is released into the water that they suck in, which is then dispelled. And the gills are fairly large with thousands of small blood vessels, which maximize the amount of oxygen that's extracted. And so by breathing in the water, the fish are kept alive. They extract the oxygen. And I think that's pretty amazing. And just like fish breathe in water to extract oxygen from it to live, what all of us have been breathing in from the sea called the world was actually killing us. And until we get the breath of God inside of us, we just keep dying. And I think there's a lot of people who just feel like they're dying. Things are not well. Things in their life aren't looking up, and they just feel like they're depleted, and it's the breath of God that we need in our lungs, breath that when we receive it, causes us to literally live forever. Like a fish out of water is the title of this message, and it usually refers to someone who is strangely uncomfortable and not living in their element, as we say. So just think about that. Paul says about believers that we are supposed to be like fish out of water when he says that we are strangers here on the earth. We are aliens. This is not our home. But I think we've gotten too comfortable here, don't you? We want everything to work out just for us exactly the way we see it. And especially if we have something go wrong in our bodies or our marriages or our families, we just want that all to be fixed right away because this is our place of comfort. How many understand that? I think whenever something trips up, we just fall apart. I mean, if the refrigerator breaks or God forbid we lose a key, I just lost a key about 4 weeks ago. And I called a couple of weeks ago to find out how much it was going to cost to replace that little tiny black thing. $485. Oh, I prayed. I found it yesterday. I found it. Yeah, that's so cool. Are you thrilled? God is good. Amen. You know, I mean, look at what we get so excited about. You clapped for that. Imagine how we'd clap when your neighbor or a single mom or your brother, you went fishing and they heard the gospel. They go, oh, something's just clicking inside of me and I got to have what you're talking about. And you start reeling them in, and it's not you who's doing the reeling. It's the Holy Spirit's power and just drawing them in. And then they come to Jesus, and I wonder if you'd clap. I think you'd fall to your knees and you go, it's my brother. I've been praying for my brother for 17 years. I think that would happen. So thank you, God, for sending a fisherman who hooked us, eh? With the life-giving message of the gospel, and we're alive because of it, and we have hope, and now and forever we have this hope. And again, I think our hope is all tied up right here in everything we have and all that we look forward to. But it's really in the gospel. And our prayer for this series is that it means so much that we live to tell about it and to share it with others to rescue them from Satan's lies. Satan's lies of what he tells people will make them happy. But we know it's not true. So through Jesus' ministry, we can read an awful lot about countless people who were drowning in the sea, the murky sea called the world, and then they got hooked and rescued by the love of Jesus and the power of the gospel that Jesus was preaching, and most of them turned around to immediately become fishers of men themselves. And probably the most popular story in Jesus' gospel or in the gospels is the woman at the well in Samaria that Jesus encountered, who had been married 5 times, and the man she was with now was not her husband, and Jesus caught her, literally. And he shared his truth about living water, and then she runs to the town who says, come and meet the man who told me everything I ever did, and they go, this will be great. And for us, we couldn't imagine anything more humiliating in our life than for someone to tell the whole town, who came, by the way, to see and listen and hear if what they had been thinking was confirmed. But the town got hooked because she went and told them, and they came to hear the gossipy, juicy story, but what they heard was the gospel. And many Samaritans believed. That's what the scriptures, isn't that a great story? It's a great story. So she became an immediate fisher of men of her whole town. There was another popular story in Jesus' Gospels with a demon-possessed man who, in his right mind, went and told the town who had only seen him when he was out of his mind. And he went and told them about Jesus. He wanted to go with Jesus, jump in the boat, if you remember. But Jesus said, no, you stay here. You know why Jesus wanted to stay, him to stay in his own town? So he'd go tell the town. And the whole town would turn to Jesus. They got hooked. Jesus could rescue everyone around him that was drowning. And he still can't. Even if they don't know they're drowning. How many of you know people who don't even know they're drowning? But they're drowning so big, and they've got so much in front of them, and they've got all these dreams and plans and career goals and ideals and license plates that are I won or he with the most toys wins, you know, those kind of things. And they're just, everything's just, but they're drowning. Allow me to introduce you to the church at Thessalonica, a whole group of people who were Gentiles, like we spoke about in week number 2, who were coming to Jesus ahead of many of the Jewish people that Paul wanted to see come to Jesus because those were Paul's own people, but they just kept refusing. And so the Thessalonians, these non-religious, unbelieving, idol-worshiping pagans, were hearing and accepting the truth about Jesus primarily because Paul couldn't help but share the gospel with them that rescued him. He couldn't help it. He was compelled by the love of Jesus. Let me stop there for a second. I think being compelled by the love of Jesus means you have to love Jesus. He already loves you, and he already loves me. He gave his life, but I need to love him in return to be compelled by this love relationship, which means I need to have chair time with him all the time, like just meet with him and talk with him and read his word. And the things that we say are so basic, like Christianity 101, we just have to do that. It's like marriage 101. When you get up in the morning and you see your mate, you should say, good morning, dear. And wow, it's not always easy, is it? But it's really better if you do say good morning, isn't it? Isn't it? It's better. And it's better when you come home if you say, hey, how are you doing? How was your day? Before I turn the door handle to enter into my house, I have a decision to make. I can come around the corner and my wife, who is so consistent, I mean, radically consistent, hey, how was your day? I have a choice to make. And I can say, ugh. Or I can say, oh, it's great. Or, well, let me tell you about it. Or if I don't say, let me tell you about it, she says, tell me about your day. How many of you love that when someone says, tell me about your day? And there's not much to tell, or you don't feel like there is, or you don't feel like talking, or you spent all your words, or whatever. How is that any different than talking with Jesus when Jesus says, how's your morning going? I got plans for you. I'll walk with you. I'll be in tune with you, in touch with you. I'll even give you words to say. I'll help you encounter people in a way you've never encountered them before. Would you like that? Sure, Jesus. You see, we have to stay in relationship with him. To want to fish, to want to share the gospel, we have to be compelled by love. So Paul, he takes off on 3 separate missionary adventures that take him around the Mediterranean rim to cast line after line in waters that had never known or heard such a life-saving message. And ultimately, they were rescued by the truth and love of the holy God who loved them so much he sent his son to die for them, to save them from sin, death, and hell, the sea of the world that we talk about. That's what he did for them. And now, Paul is commending these Thessalonian believers for becoming known for rescuing others. Oh, I love this part. He's commending them for being known for that. Let me read to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. This is actually our text, and we're halfway through the message. Let's read the text this morning. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He's the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. This is a great little letter, isn't it? To the followers of Jesus. And Paul's commending these new believers. Their church, at this point, their church was probably only 2 to 3 years old when Paul wrote this letter, and he acknowledged a couple of important points. This wasn't just an invitation to a church service where Paul and his evangelistic team invited a bunch of people to church, and I have nothing against church services. But there was an undeniable attraction because the Holy Spirit was powerfully with them as they delivered the message of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit gave the people who were hearing the words full assurance of the gospel. You see, it's not about our wise and persuasive words. It's far more than just an invitation to a gathering. But please let me say it again. I've said it many times. Many of you found Jesus because you came to a gathering like this. True? A lot of us did. We walked in here. The Holy Spirit is no less present. For sure. I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit is present with you individually, personally, when you take the gospel to someone. You don't have to just drag them to church or bet them something, and the bet is if they lose, they have to come to church. You don't have to do that. You can actually go to someone that God is calling you to go to, or someone who's on your heart. I just want to ask you, do you have anybody who burdens your heart who needs the gospel? Anybody? So would you please now start praying through the Holy Spirit's power that God will take you to that person and you'll share it, but the Holy Spirit is the one who will assure them with joy. Like Vicki Drew talked about in week number 2, I think, when I had her on the stage, and she prays every time she goes into Hannaford's that God will present someone to her, and more often than not, she's connected to somebody in Hannaford's, and she prays for that person. It's just what she does. It's what we should do. For the Thessalonians, it was the very Spirit of God that gave them the assurance in their own hearts and souls that the gospel and its truth was worth living for. But don't miss this. It was also worth dying for. Here's why I say that. In verse 6, Paul says, you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit despite the severe suffering that it brought you. In that day, there was a great persecution against those who chose to follow Jesus, like the Christians in Afghanistan are facing this very hour, right now. And there are, I'll say, unconfirmed reports, but reports nonetheless, of Christians being shot to death because of their faith in Jesus. In America, we have no context for that. Many of the believers in Thessalonica were meeting early deaths just like that at the hands of those who hated Jesus. They were zealots like Paul was. Remember, before Paul became a Christian, his mission was to rid the earth of any believer. And then there were ruthless Roman authorities who would stone and beat to death, even crucify new believers. Imagine that, similar suffering happening in our day in Afghanistan. But again, we probably just can't quite grasp that kind of commitment to Jesus. Imagine similar suffering happening to any one of us. Imagine choosing to take the bait and to allow your heart and mind to receive the gospel and know that like a fish out of water eventually will die. The opposite of that happens. Even if we die, we live. And so we're like fish out of water in that context. Like, this isn't our home. We're aliens and strangers here. And so when we accept Jesus, we live. And the people you love and desperately want to see saved need that gospel. They just have to have it. Your sons, your daughters, your parents, your friends, your coworkers, without the gospel, they die eternally. With the gospel, it's the opposite. We know this. Boy, this is like Christianity 101. We have no idea of how such a fishing expedition, one that could turn so deadly and at the same time bring life, we just don't understand in our context why anyone whose life was being threatened would choose to say, yes, I believe, would declare that they're followers, knowing that their very life would be taken. But they do know that. Those in Afghanistan who are believers, they do know that. That their life is at stake. But their testimony, just like the Thessalonians, is going to ring out from where they are. So that's why it's so important to see that it's not our own strength that we fish with. We fish with power. We need to go back and revisit the first half of verse 5 as we kind of draw this to a close. Because Paul said, for when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with the power of the Holy Spirit, and gave you full assurance that what we said was true. So this is very important. One more time, you see, you're going to say, wow, it sounds like you keep saying this over. I am. I'm saying it over and over again, that we have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. That it's not the words that we think up. It's like going fishing for a day and having every kind of bait you can think of, and you just keep tossing out bait and you keep tossing it out, but there's no response. And then an expert comes and he has just the right spinner lure, and he takes a cast with such eloquence, and you're going, oh my goodness, look at that. And the line strikes and he reels it in. It's perfect. Because the Holy Spirit does that. Just, in essence, we cast the line, he sets the hook, and we reel it in. He does the drawing, his power. Not our clever words or persuasiveness, but the Spirit's power. If, like we said at the very beginning, if fishing were that easy, everybody would be doing it. So I don't know, how many of you have been believers or followers of Jesus for 10 years? Has it gotten easier? Are you sharing the gospel with gusto? Is there just a lot of waiting like there is in a boat when you're fishing and nothing is happening? The question is, are we even fishing? You see, we won't become fishermen by sitting in a boat. That doesn't make you a fisherman. You got to get all the gear and get the line, cast it in the water. And you won't become a follower of Jesus by sitting in a church building. In fact, that's an incorrect assessment of what this place is. It's not a church building. It's a building where the church gathers. We're the church. So that's what we are. But don't expect people just to flood this place. You got to cast a line. Here's the second half of verse 5. And you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. This is a really important piece for me to kind of close up with, because Paul, Timothy, and Silas, they lived what they believed. Their lives, their character, their love, their integrity, their concern was visible and experienced by the people they were sharing with. Listen to this. Jesus said, one more time, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We don't become fishermen on our own. But it's the story. If we're trying to share the gospel of Jesus, this is what Paul's saying, but the condition of our life doesn't live up to the gospel. Like if we're trying to tell people how to have a relationship with Jesus, but all of our relationships are blowing up around us, kind of hard to tell someone how to have a relationship with Jesus when our life is just continually blowing up and we haven't gotten that part in order. And so it'd be really good if we just bow before Jesus. And get our life in order. And maybe we just stay on our knees for a long enough time to say, Jesus, there are so many fractured pieces that I don't even feel put together. And it's hard for me to share the gospel or feel like I'm qualified to do so. And so would you just please put me together? And that doesn't mean all the things around you will be fixed. It means he'll fix you. It means he'll fix me. Our hearts. The deal, of course, is that we can't be living with willful hypocrisy that glows like a neon sign on a dark night. Because sometimes we do that. We say we believe, but we don't live up to that. But the thing that changes people is the evidence of the change in us, oftentimes, that they see. And that we live to tell about it, that I have been so broken or I am so broken, but Jesus is the one who heals me. That's not hard to track with. So people need to see us living moral and godly lives that reflect our obedience to the commands and principles of Jesus. They need to see us and hear us laughing and experiencing such joy in proportion. This is another part that we kind of struggle with. Like, man, people should just see believers living in this joy of Jesus more than tanking in the trouble of the sea of the world that we talk about. And we need to share with others this gospel. And we need to tell people that we're sharing with that, hey, there are other people who may mock you and make fun of you for the morals and the principles of Jesus that seem so out of touch, so much so that you may not do the things you used to do. In fact, you won't do the things you used to do. You won't sleep with them. You won't get drunk with them. You won't get high with them. You won't gossip with them. You've changed, and you got to tell people the truth that our life needs to express that change. That's a change. But with the gospel comes the power to make the change. One more thing. Paul also said, wherever we go, we find people who are telling us about your faith. Wherever we go. It's what East Point wants to be known for. Wherever we go, whenever they encounter one of us, they're hearing about our faith, that we are known for sharing our faith. And that's what Paul was saying to the Thessalonian believers. Wherever we go, people tell us that you turned from idols, that you turned away from sin to anticipate the coming of Jesus. All of that, all of our life, all the fractured pieces, all of the things that make our story what our story is, God can use that to tell others this gospel. So whatever pain, whatever issues, whatever relationship struggles, whatever all the things we've spoken of, whatever addictions, that can be used by God to reach one more who's desperate to be saved. And that is why we fish, to see people saved, to see the hook set, to see the Holy Spirit's power, and to reel them in. Here's kind of an action point for us. There was a time that someone was fishing for us and we got hooked. Do you know who that person is? Can you think, if you can think of their name, like, you know who it was who actually helped plant that hook? If you can think of that name, would you just thank God for that person right now? Would you just thank them right now where you're sitting and say, oh, thank you, God, for that person who shared the truth? Here's the second action point. If possible, would you contact them and tell them thank you? Just call them up today or text them, or I don't care how you do it. Just tell them thank you. Thank you for fishing. Thank you for fishing for men, and I'm one of them. Thank you for fishing. Just thank them. And then the final piece of our action step is go fishing. It's Labor Day weekend. Go fishing and ask God, ask the power of the Holy Spirit to go before us, to set up those appointments so that we can share this gospel. Let me pray for us as we head into our time of communion to remember Jesus this morning and what he did for us. And then we'll share the bread and the cup. If you can get that out and ready, we'll share it in just a moment. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the stories throughout Scripture that we see and the evidence of a person like Paul and his team that goes out onto the streets and among the people to places that have never heard before. And we thank you for the results of line after line being cast into the water, the murky sea of the world, and for allowing people to respond to that and to pull them to yourself through that power of your Spirit. And God, we also recognize that we have a role to play in the evidence of how we live, that there's a change that's taken place in us that people can actually see, and that we follow your principles and your commands. And so we ask, Lord Jesus, that you just keep walking with us. Remind us that your hand is always outstretched to us, that we can take it and walk with you. We trust you, Lord, to help us make a difference in Greater Portland and throughout the world, to truly see the gospel have the effect that your gospel has had on so many of us. We love you and praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.